Hands together and welcome Adam Hosmer. He's going to be our guest speaker this morning.
Let us bow our heads and pray. Lord, we come to you in prayer, giving thanks for all you've done in our lives this last week. We thank you that you have given us another opportunity together and to give praise to you in all you do for us. We know that you are an awesome God and that with you in our lives anything is possible. We just ask that you would ready our mind, our hearts, and our souls, and you'd bless us with the wisdom as we study your word. For you get all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good morning. My name is Adam Hosmer, and I'm the pastor of this church, just right down the road from here. I'd like to express how humbled I am to have the opportunity to come together with you this morning so we can fellowship and give worship and praise to an amazing, awesome God we have. As I was preparing for this message, I already had an idea for what I wanted to talk about. But I thought it was only appropriate that since we are gathering here today, one day before our nation celebrates its birthday, that I would share a message that would help us not only see our patriotic duties as Americans, but help remind us what our duties are as Christians. You know, I think it is important that we first acknowledge the fact that we as Christians, that we as born-again believers have a job to do. A job that is more important than any other job. A job that is the most important job of all. And that job is teaching and sharing God's word with everyone we meet. As Christians, we never retire, and we have a job to do, a job that is more important than any other, a job that calls us to a life of witnessing and sharing the story of God's unconditional love with all kinds of people in all kinds of places, a job that allows us to share the Word of God and give all we meet the opportunity to be saved from an eternal separation from God and the ultimate punishment for sin. When we think about that, we give them the opportunity to be saved from an eternal separation from God. How amazing is that, that we can give that opportunity and that we are given that opportunity? It's important as Christians that we understand from the time that we accept Christ into our lives, from the time that we become born again, that we have a job to do. And in this job, there are no exceptions to the expectations. We must understand that all born again believers are preachers, and the world of the unchurched is our congregation. And it is our job to go out and share God's word with them and to share God's love with them. You know, we are told just to do that in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And I'll be jumping around scriptures today, so I apologize. And if you want to follow, I'll be reading from the NIV. But Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Know that I am with you always, even to the end. Time and time again, these examples are given throughout the Bible. And I truly believe that any true born-again believer, any Christian, will accept the challenge of spreading God's word. And he acknowledges the importance of how crucial this is to all of us. Now, before we start talking about our patriotic duties, I think it's important for us to just take some time to recognize and talk about a few things that really make this country great. Because we can all agree that this country, we still have many freedoms that people in other countries, they can only dream of. You know, I'm sure as we meet this very hour, there are Christians throughout the world that share the same faith, that share the same belief, the same love for the glorious God that we praise, but they're living in fear right now. Living in fear for their convictions and their beliefs that they have. But we as Americans, we still have the rights, and we still have freedoms that protect this, that give us the opportunity to gather in public and to worship and give praise to the amazing, forgiving, loving God that we have. But as Americans, this is what sets us apart from many countries in the world. This is what makes this country the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is obvious that when we start studying the words of the Declaration of Independence, that we will see clause after clause, section after section, phrase after phrase, value after value, that relates directly to the principles of Christianity. The Founding Fathers don't hide the fact. They don't shy away from this. Matter of fact, Richard Henry Lee, one of our Founding Fathers, one that would make the motion for our independence, would say that a majority of the ideas that were used come from a book called Two Trustees of Government by John Locke. Now, this book is 406 pages long, and in just 406 pages, John Locke uses over 1,500 Bible verses to describe what a government should look like. Richard Henry Lee also tells us this is where most of the principles for the Declaration of Independence come from. In fact, he tells us that Thomas Jefferson took these concepts from this book and put them in the Declaration. The basis of our nation, founded 1,500 Bible verses telling us what government should look like. In fact, they tell us in the writings that they get the idea of separation of powers from Jeremiah in chapter 17, verse 9, where we are told that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond, cannot be cured. Here we clearly see the motive and the importance for the separation of powers. Since the heart is wicked and weak, it's best to divide powers to minimize the amount of power that any one individual possesses. We also know that our Founding Fathers get the idea of having three branches of government from Isaiah. In fact, our whole Republican form of government comes from the idea that is given in Exodus 18. It says, the next day Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people. And that they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw this, he said, Moses, what are you doing for these people? And he said, what you are doing for these people, why do you do this alone? Why do you sit as a judge? Why all these people stand around you from the morning till evening? Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you, and you cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them His decrees and His instructions and show them the way that they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for all the people at all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide amongst themselves, and this will make your load lighter. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. You know, here we clearly see this being the form of the government that we have here today in the United States. We have a federal, we have a state, and we have a county or city or village government. And brothers and sisters, it is clear that when our Founding Fathers wrote this document, the document that would make this country great, they were using the Bible. They were using God's Word as a basis of their principles. You know, they did this because they understood that the Bible applies to everything that happens in our life today. There's nothing that will happen here today that hasn't happened there already. And it is clear that they felt this way and had tremendous faith in their beliefs as Christians. Benjamin Franklin says in his autobiography that, here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe. that he governs it by his providence, and that he ought to be worshipped. That the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to his other children. That the soul of man is immortal, and we will be treated with justice in another life, respecting the conduct in this. This I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion, and I regard them as you do in whatever section I meet with them. As to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the systems of moral and his religion, as he left them to us, is the best the world ever saw or is likely to see. He recognizes that God is great, and we will never have another example of how to live better than the one that he has given us. In the writings of George Washington, he says this: we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, and that we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of a Christian. Book after book, writings after writings, we can clearly see that our founding fathers had a deep Christian faith. John Hancock, the first signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue to steadfast and with a proper sense of your dependence on God, nobly defend the rights which heaven gave, and no man ought to take us." It is obvious that these men believed in God and that the Bible was the best guide for life and for the foundation for this country to live by. Patrick Henry said just that in the book of The Trumpet Voice of Freedom. He says it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religious people, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faith have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and the freedom of worship here. You know, I get fired up. You have to forgive me. Sometimes, you know, when you're passionate about something, you get fired up and I get ahead of myself. You know, after reading all these quotes, I started to wonder what the founding fathers would think today if they were here to see this United States. This United States of America, a country that was founded on the principles of Christianity. A country founded on the belief that there is one God, and under this God, all things are possible. That all men are created equal. I wonder how they would react when they see how much God we have taken out of this country. How many of the Christian principles we have strayed from, because that's what we are doing as a society, and we continue to do. We are taking the very foundation and the very principles that make this country great, and we are slowly starting to remove them one by one. We're removing them from our country, out of our state, and out of our towns. And let's face it, we are the ones that have allowed this to happen. We have elected the people that make these decisions, and we re-elect them after they do things that we don't like. You know, we have watched this country lose its principles one by one. And if we continue to do this, we as Christian Americans continue to allow this to happen, the devilish schemes that the world possesses will swallow this country whole. Over 230 years ago, George Washington said it was impossible to rightly govern a country without God and the Bible. Today, we are seeing the truth of that statement unfold before our very eyes. Our country has fallen prey to those who seek power for their own benefit. Those who worship themselves over God and only mention God or the Bible for political points or in order to move their personal agenda forward. And these are only a few of the things that are taking God out of this country. We are in a situation now where most of those who are governing this nation are doing so without God and without the principles of the Bible. They are proving every day how impossible it is to rightly govern this great country without those principles. We are taking God out of our country, and if we continue to do so, this country will fail. We have allowed Satan and the devilish schemes of his world to infiltrate our society, and by doing so, we are losing our principles and our Christian foundations that make this country truly great. You know, I can recall just not too many years ago, as a junior high student in Mount Carmel, we had one teacher who was obviously a Christian, and he was a very strong, patriotic American. And being a born-again believer, every day when you entered this teacher's class, you came to attention, you would address the flag of the United States of America, recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and then come together in prayer. This was only 15 years ago. This is unheard of now in a public classroom. We have expelled God, and we as a society have allowed this. And not only have we expelled God and the Bible from our schools, as a result, this has creeped into our society and has plagued other issues one by one, like a domino effect. It has expelled God and the Bible from politics, from commerce, and even our very way of life. We see this in the removal of God's Ten Commandments from America's courthouses across and government offices. I find it mind-boggling that we as a country that is based on Christian foundation can be talked into and support the removal of these ever so important commandments that God gives us. Don't think that these things aren't happening close to home. It was only a few years ago that efforts were made in the Indiana House of Representatives to have the Ten Commandments removed from several governmental offices throughout Indiana, including the courthouse at Gibson County. Luckily, there were a few good men left, so to speak, in the House of Representatives of Indiana, and they stood strong, turned down the bill. But these are the very things that some of our founding fathers gave us warning about. Because they knew that the Declaration was only as good. Now listen to this. They knew that the Declaration was only as good as the people that would be following it and the people that were elected to the task of preserving it. But as time has passed, we as a society have fell victim to these temptations. We have allowed our priorities to come all out of whack, so to speak. And the lack of God that is now missing in most of our lives is quickly killing off the Christian principles that made this country so great. We have put God second to so many things in this country, and this is dangerous on so many levels. We quickly forget that our children learn from our actions, and when they see us put God second in our lives, they quickly come to the assumption that this is okay for them to do also. You know, I remember 10 years ago being an athlete in high school. We didn't have practices or games on Wednesday, and they did this so we could go to church and worship God. And they had respect for that. Today, as a youth minister, I have kids coming up to me saying, "Will you come to my game on Sunday? I won't be at church, but because I have a game on Sunday." This was unheard of. Today we have athletic events every day of the week. We even have some of our youth basketball games on Sunday in some towns. And we wonder why God is becoming second in our kids' lives, why God is becoming second in our lives, why God is being taken out of this country. You know, these issues and these things seem small, but these are the Satanish schemes that the Apostle Paul warns us about. But luckily, we as Christians, we know and we are shown through the Word of God how we can combat these devilish schemes. And we are told just that in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17. Excuse me. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devilish schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know, as we read this scripture, I think it really does a good job in reminding us how important it is for us as Christians to be prepared to extinguish the evil of this world. I wonder how many of our leaders in this country today, better yet, how many of us truly have our armor on? I wonder how many of us are really ready to wear the armor of God and to carry the shield of faith so we can extinguish these devilish schemes before they spread. Because it's not a matter of if Satan and these devilish schemes will present itself in our life. It's a case of when they will present themselves in our life. And let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience on this one. Once Satan gets in a person's life, it explodes like a wildfire. It will burn you to a crisp. You know, luckily for us, we are taught and we know that through God, through our faith, we have a shield that can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. There's no doubt that we as Christians, we as Americans need to put on this armor of God so we can get back to serving our God, get back to serving our country to the best of our abilities. So we can start to restore the Christian principles that made this country great. So we as a society can put God back in this country. God gives us these tools, brothers and sisters, to do all these things. And it only seems fitting that as we gather here today, that we understand the most patriotic action that we can have or that we can take is to help restore the principles that have helped make this country truly great for over 230 years. We must familiarize ourselves with God's word to the best of our abilities and go share that word with all kinds of people in all kinds of places. If we do this, not only will it help reestablish the Christian principles for this country, but it will strengthen our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If we study His word, give praise to His glory, and continue His work, we will become closer to our God. We will understand Him and know Him better. And this is important because we know that we must have that personal relationship with our Savior so we can prevent ourselves from having that eternal separation from Jesus Christ. We are told this in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Here we are told that it takes more than just knowing Jesus and acknowledging His presence. It takes a personal relationship. It's time that we as Christians strengthen our personal relationship with Christ. Pray that He will give us the courage and the wisdom and guidance so we can put on the armor of God and get to work. It is our job as Christians, it's our job and our patriotic duties as America to go out and take back what is ours, to put God back into this great country. So as we leave here, as we go back out into the world, let us remember what our founding fathers had in mind when they came together to form this country. Let us remember that this country is based on the principles that God taught to His disciples. Let us realize that this country is based on Christianity. Let us remember that this country is based on the principles. Let us find the wisdom and the courage to extinguish the devilish schemes that distract us from our faith, that distract us from our faith and our values. And let us put on the full armor of God. Let us carry His sword. So as disciples, so as patriots, we can go out and renew the principles of Christianity that will save this country from tyranny of the oppressors that do not fear God, that do not share the beliefs that all men are created equal. Unfortunately, this is what our country is dangerously coming to. We are dangerously removing God from this country, and it is our job to stop that, to restore it. On this 4th of July, I think we should realize that it is our job as Christians, it is our job as patriots, to go out and restore America's foundation. To go out and preserve the freedoms and the rights that make this country great. So as we prepare to leave here today, let us prepare ourselves to the best of our abilities with God's message and with God's word. So we can just do that. So we can go back out into the world, go back out into America, and put country or God back into this country. Let us pray. Gracious giving God, we stand before you humbled by your never-ending love and the grace that you share in all of our lives. We just give you praise that you have blessed us with such a beautiful day so we can gather in fellowship and worship and give praise to your name. We come to you knowing that you are the greatest power and the ultimate healer. And we come to you asking that if it would be your will, that you would comfort those who might be in pain, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritually. We pray that you would give us the strength to reprioritize our lives so we can make you and your work number one in ours. We ask that you grant us the wisdom and that you would bless all those that we have elected to make decisions that influence and impact all of our lives. We ask that you would give them the humility to seek your will. Let us be slow with anger and willing to understand another one's point of view. Give us the courage to do what we know and what we believe is right. We ask you, please take these distractions from all of our lives and fill us with your spirit. Give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom so we may put on the full armor of God, so we can extinguish the evil that may arise in all of our lives and the lives of our loved ones. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.